mention it, see if some other people want to go up to want to go down for that November trip. I guess it's November, right? And be a part of that, and see what God can do. Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Steve.
Amen. It's good to be with y'all here tonight. God has allowed us to be in the Dominican Republic for 27 years. And in that time, we've been able to start 13 churches. And Pastor Creed and I were talking, part of my job is to, of course, help get these churches started, get guys trained, be able to pastor the churches. I can't pastor 13 churches. I have enough time, hard enough time pastoring one. To start churches, there are folks that will say something like, well, they really ought to start their own churches. They ought to pay for their own buildings, ought to pay for their own property. And amen. I agree that they need to do their part, but it may take them 50 years to do that. So in order for us to start a lot of churches, we need money. And y'all sacrifice and give way above and beyond. So I'm not hitting you up for money in saying that. But Pastor and I have talked about we're getting to the point where I really wish I was able to travel around to these churches more and be able to help them individually. Really, I can. We have a leadership structure in our church that things continue on. Tonight they have a special evangelistic meeting. We're expecting a good amount of visitors saved, Lord willing, baptized. We have a vacation Bible school going on at Brother Armando's. Last night they had 75 saved. Tonight they had 130, 56 saved. And then at Brother Oliver's, yesterday he had a vacation Bible school with 105 there, 30 visitors, 50 saved. At 4:30, at 7 they had a family service with 99 people there, one visitor and two saved. And then in the morning, before that, they were in a public school and saw 128 kids saved in the public school. In the last few months, since Samana, he got encouraged with the folks that were saved there. And he went and has been getting into the public and private schools in his community. And he's seen over 3,000 saved. You say, are they sincere? We hope so. He did a very clear presentation of the gospel. And he has been invited already to 15 more schools before school year's out, the middle of July. So pray for that. I pray that the Lord would just give us wisdom. And this year we had to make three trips, two because my mother was very sick and we thought she was going to die. And then finally she did die. And this trip that we're here for now is to preach for our Spanish camp, that independent, that over a year ago we planned on that. I pray that the Lord would help us, just give us wisdom. We're not tourists. Somebody asked us about a week or so ago, said, asked Noemi, said, so you and your wife are missionaries in the States now? And because we've been here quite a bit this year, we're not, and we would rather be. You know it, from our heart. Pastor already said that we would rather be there. But Samana, last November, we went up and the peninsula, if you look at the map, with the group of 50, actually there were 54, and we handed out the gospel of Romans, of John and Romans, and gave out tracts, and there were just under 4,000 people that made professions of faith. Thank you. Most of them were kids in the schools. We were surprised that we were able to get into the schools so easily. Even in schools that most of the schools are run by Catholics, but even the ones where they were met by a nun, she let them in. And and praise the Lord that we're working in a great way. This year, the goal is to have about 100, and there's a lot of work to do to get gospel literature all through that peninsula, and pray about coming. The Lord will use you. Aren't you glad you're saved? Yeah. And you're just one person. But it's wonderful to be saved. And I want my mom, the Lord, my dad, and my grandmother, and I still pray that they were sincere. I don't really know the sincerity of the heart. Our job is to get the gospel out.
Amen.
So pray that we would have a good group to come, and that the Lord would use everybody. And some people have said, wow, things are really happening in the Dominican. It's been like that for years. Most people just aren't willing to come. I can't believe that God hasn't called more people to come there to Dominican. I can say that the United States is probably a bigger mission field now than the Dominican Republic is. And so what a great need. And folks here need the gospel just as well as the people there in the Dominican Republic. I'm going to incorporate in the message what Pastor mentioned about the different guys and the different works there. So let's open in our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. And we will read verse 12. Genesis 28:12. Bible says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it." And this is the story about Jacob's ladder. And when we say story, of course, that really happened.
Amen.
And the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And towards the end of the chapter in verse 20, it says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go," and I want you to pay attention to that phrase, "this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." I believe Jacob was saved there. I know there's not a lot of details. Most of the Bible characters we see in the Bible, we don't see when they were saved. We just guess when they actually were. But Jacob had a great experience in his salvation, and he had some doubts, just like you and I. We don't have all the answers. It seemed like it was enough that the night I got saved. Amen. It was enough just that I knew I was going to heaven, but I had a whole lot to learn. And there's been a on the way that I go in my life. And I want to speak tonight on when we are on the way where God sends us. When we are on the way where God sends us. And I preached probably 30 or so messages on this in our church in the Dominican. And if you open to chapter number 32 of Genesis, and Jacob, of course, went and was with his uncle Laban for a while and met his two wives. And in those days, it wasn't biblical either to have two wives, but he did have two wives. And it says in Jacob, chapter 32, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Jacob went on his way. When we are on our way, God has... did we already pray for the message? I don't remember. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the liberty, Lord, that Pastor Creed gave me to be able to speak, and the liberty of the folks, Lord, that I believe that folks here are hungry for a message from you. Lord, please hide me in the shadow of the cross and allow that whatever to come out of my lips would please you, and help me, Lord, to be able to incorporate what Pastor asked about the different works there. And we ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. When we are on the way to to where God sends us, probably God will meet with us in a special way. God will meet with us in a special way. If you here we see, of course, God says that Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. God may have different way to manifest himself unto us, but when we are on the way to what God wants us to do, when we make the decision, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do, I'll go where you want me to go, in some way, I believe God is wanting to manifest himself to us. Amen. In a special way. If you look for an example of that, in John chapter 12, in John chapter 12, in verse number 26, Bible says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I believe God honors us and reveals himself to us in a special way when we decide to go wherever God would have us go. Jacob had an encounter with the Lord at Bethel, where I believe he was saved for salvation. And now Jacob has another encounter with the Lord at Chabbok, where I believe the Lord is working on his sanctification. His encounter in Bethel determined his beliefs, but now his encounter in Chabbok determined his behavior. And Jacob was in a great crisis in his life, and God had spent 20 years working on a sanctification. Of course, we've heard that there's a positional sanctification when we're saved. Positionally, in the eyes of the Lord, we're sanctified completely, 100% perfect in his sight forever. Amen? Amen. But then there's a progressive sanctification that daily we're supposed to apart ourselves more close to the Lord and do his will. There is a perfect sanctification in heaven. In 20 years into Jacob's life, now God is working with him in a special way, and he becomes a mature Christian. God changes his name at the end of the chapter. When we went to the Dominican Republic, we didn't know exactly where God wanted us, but we ended up in a poor community. I had the idea, let's start a church somewhere where we can reach the middle class, the rich, the poor, everybody. But that wasn't God's will.
Right.
God wanted us in Quito Sueño. And as a matter of fact, Pastor Creed's uncle, Brother Mickey Creed, Brother Rick Harvey, some other pastors came down. And as they were pulling out of the church parking lot to go to the hotel, they had to go on two trips because our van didn't have enough room for everybody. Pretty big, there were some pretty big preachers there. Brother Mickey Creed, on the way out of the parking lot, said, "What in the world did Steve get himself mixed up into? This is never going to work." Well, before they left, they took up an offer of $8,500 for us to buy the property there and the house that it was on. And the story just started there. God has worked, and now 13 years later, we have different people that God. But God is, man, I could tell you story after story how God showed us in a definite way, sometimes with a special offering, sometimes with seeing some little booger-nosed boy get saved, sometimes seeing a miracle of God healing somebody, seeing some preacher that came down the Dominican and was impressed of what God is doing. But we started a church in a place called Vietnam. When we were going down the street in Vietnam, Dr. Creed, as we were walking, you know how sophisticated Dr. Creed and appropriate, proper he is. He said to me one time, if people knew what a mess we really were, they wouldn't know what to do. But he looks real proper all the time, but he jokes around with stuff. But we were walking down the street in Vietnam, he looked over at me, he was crying. And what's the matter, Pastor Creed? He said, these people can just go to hell. What are you saying? These people can go on to hell. I said, what do you mean? He said, these poor people. He said, so many people are criticizing you for being in Quito Sueño and working with those poor people. And now with Alexis working here with the poor people here, he said, we're going to just let them go to hell?
Amen.
He said, praise the Lord that Alexis is willing to start here. Amen. When we bought, well, before we bought the property there, the day before Alexis went to negotiate, the house burnt down. So guess what? We didn't like the house anyway. We wanted the property. The house went down half. I mean, they had to give it real cheap. Well, Alexis is not the pastor anymore, but Pastor Fernando is the pastor. And Pastor Fernando, just God worked in his life. He left our Jose Manuel left our church to go start a church. Fernando was a guy on the bus route, and Jose Manuel said, "I think Fernando can do it." And I thought, Fernando comes to church some weeks, and then other weeks he doesn't even show up. But finally, I said, "Well, if he doesn't do it, nobody's going to do it." Isn't it sad that sometimes there's so few people willing to do what God would have them do, that you have to just use anybody? And so we used him, and something worked that usually doesn't work. Pastor can tell you that that he became more faithful, and now he's one of our pastors. And but he was offered a contract to play baseball with Atlanta Braves, but he went to camp, and while he was at camp, he missed the appointment that he had. And he went home. His mom and dad were very mad at him, but God called him to preach. And Fernando's not just pastoring in Vietnam, he's also pastoring Huachupita. Fernando's also pastoring in La Nueva Barquita. And praise the Lord for what he's doing there. Amen. But God also has Brother Jose Manuel out in Los Frailes. Jose Manuel was a boxer. I told him he's not a real boxer because his nose isn't broken. Boxer supposed to have a broken nose, but he started in an area by this big Mormon church, and praise the Lord, he finally got a piece of property. They have they're trying to get enough money to get at least the first floor in. Haven't been able to get it, so they finally put up a tent, and the tent is so nice. They're doing such a good job. They said they're just going to keep the tent until they're able to get a building, because they were renting a smaller building that was probably about the size of these chairs on this side, the whole building. And so, and then they were able to get another little room for the kids. But Jose Manuel is doing a great job. He needs money. Brother Felo at Loma de Cabrera has a building up. It looks like a cave. You look at it, and all you see is a floor. Well, underneath of the floor is the basement building that they have, and they're doing everything there now. Their goal is to get two more floors up, put his house there, but they're lacking money for that. And you might not have the money, but you sure can pray. Amen. Please pray that the Lord would provide for them. But Brother Felo was the head deacon in a Pentecostal church for years. And according to them, he wasn't saved. And the reason he wasn't saved, because he never spoke tongues. But every time they vote, they wanted to vote for a new deacon or head deacon, they always voted for him. And so when he left the church, the pastor said, "Whatever you do, don't go to the Baptist church." He said, "That is exactly where I'm going, to the Baptist Amen. Church, because his son was coming and God was working in his heart. And he wanted to come to our Bible college." I said, "No, you go to Pentecostal Bible College. We're going to teach you Baptist doctrine isn't right just because it's Baptist.
Right.
It has to be Bible doctrine. So right. Please don't get confused what I'm saying." But he ended up coming to our church, getting saved, getting his life straightened out, and he just turned 70 years old and pastoring two churches. Amen. God can use anybody. Pastor Armando is a sergeant major in the military. He has just a few months before he retires completely. He's one of the guys that just talked about that's having a vacation Bible school in his little house where he's meeting for his church. We've had a couple times where Americans have come in and the owner likes that, and now she's raised his rent over double of what it was before, so he's forced to have to get another place. But pray for Brother Armando. Pray for also Brother Oliver. Brother Oliver is out in Fampino. Brother Oliver is using the community center of close to where his house is, and he's the one that's been going into the in the schools and working in a great way. And I, who else could I tell about? Brother Oliver. Who else, Mommy? Oliver's friend, Wellington. Yeah, Brother Wellington. Brother Wellington is pastoring a church that another missionary pastored, and he left it, and it didn't have a pastor for 10 years. The Pentecostals tried to take it over, and finally he went and took it and is doing a great job. Married a great young lady. She's a medical doctor, general practitioner, and she's really, really doing good. So, but praise the Lord, but God. Carlos just went up to Samaná, and in El Limón de Samaná, they started working there. He married an American missionary named Sarah from North Carolina, and he's working on getting his visa now to be able to come here. Legally, when you're married to an American, unless you have a criminal record, you're able to come. Without getting into politics, sometimes the way they say things are is not the way it is. It's harder than ever, unless you cross the border illegally to get into the States. He should be able to be here by now. But pray for them. He got some chairs. They need other things, and but just pray for them as they continue on. I don't know about you, Pastor came in tonight. I don't know whether it's because just he's a big man or whether he was messing with me, bumped into me as I was sitting there. I was ready to stand up and punch somebody. No, I wasn't. But I thought, who's that? And then I saw him. I said, I'm glad to see you. I love Pastor Creed. He's been a good friend. And every year, it's just like you feel like the Lord's getting better, but he's just as good as he's always been. We just get to know him a little better. I think with Pastor Creed, I get to know him better each year that goes by, and you're such a friend, Pastor. I thank you. Such a great preacher. And I was thinking while he was giving the announcements tonight, without a vision, the people perish. Praise the Lord for a man of God that has a vision. And when you have a vision, other people will be critical and try to tear down. Maybe they really think that they're right and you're wrong. But praise the Lord for a man of God who's willing to take this church and move it on to where God wants it. Amen. And he desires that for us there in the Dominican Republic. But Noemi and I, God called us to go to Dominican Republic. And our daughter was born with a cleft lip and palate. And Noemi said, Steve, God called us to Dominican Republic. You need to continue on deputation. And so I was going to California, and I had to get somebody to go with me. Had one of our young men, an 18-year-old guy from our church, and Carlos. I called all the pastors and told them what was going on and asked them if they would mind if he came. It would be hard to drive that far, and if I was to break down, I didn't want to be by myself. And so we went. But when I left, any of y'all know John Ritiger from Independent? One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet, and he's humble. But I had to borrow some money from Brother Ritiger. Actually, I think Independence let me borrow it. And Brother Ritiger is real nice. But even Brother Ritiger looked at me like, what do you need the money for? And it was embarrassing. But in order for me to get out of town, Noemi had given up her job. I gave up my job. And we didn't know that was going to happen with our baby. Didn't have money. I got out to Oklahoma, and leaving there to go to Los Angeles, I was at the gas pump, and this guy with white, snow white hair, all slicked back, a toothpick in his mouth, he looked over at me as I was pumping my gas. He said, hey, is that your car? I thought, this guy ain't too bright. I'm pumping gas in it, must be mine. I said, yes, sir, it's my car. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Los Angeles. He pulled out his toothpick. He said, you'll never make it. He said, look at those tires. They're about to pop. they're so bald. And I didn't want to look at them. I thought that might pop. Brother Arnold, if I looked at them hard enough, they were in such bad shape. He said, you need to go to Super Walmart and get you some tires. Well, I didn't have money for Super Walmart. I already told you I had to borrow money to go out of town. I don't know. I don't remember where I got the money. I think my mother let me borrow some money. I think I did go to Super Walmart. I got to Los Angeles. I preached in a guy had us go visit him all day on Saturday, which came in. And we went to eat. And he ordered his food and went and sat down. I looked at Carlos. I said, Carlos, I don't have any money. He said, I don't either. I said, let's just get a glass of water. We got a glass of water. I went and sat down. The preacher said, I thought you said you were hungry. Aren't you going to eat? He said, no, we're all right. We're all right. We sat there and watched the pastor eat. And while he criticized all the churches in California and talked about that none were fundamental like him. And then we left there. When we left, after preaching all day Sunday, he gave me a check, put it in my pocket, and understand I needed some money. And so quickly that envelope was out. As soon as he was out of sight, I opened it up, $25. First of all, I didn't have $25 in the bank to cover changing the check. And I don't remember how we made it. We went up to Washington State. A similar scenario happened. We went out visiting all day Saturday. The pastor invited us to go out to eat. And in the meantime, at some point, I don't remember what point, I told the Lord, Lord, my daughter has a cleft lip and palate. She's going to have operation while I'm gone. Lord, my wife can't be with me. I don't have money. I had to borrow money from Brother Ritiger. I don't have money. I didn't have money for my tires. Lord, if you don't give me this amount of money enough to pay my rent, pay some bills by this date, I'm not going to the Dominican Republic. I'm not going. How am I going to take my family to another country when you don't provide here? I don't have enough money. The insurance company said they weren't going to pay for the operations. They said it was cosmetic. It was really bad. And so we got to this church and we went out to eat. The pastor, me and Carlos are worried, like, is he going to pay for this? Or are we going to have to... And not that we're trying to take advantage of anybody, but we didn't have the money. And so the pastor did pay for it. Praise the Lord. And so we got our food and prayed for it. After he prayed, the pastor said, Brother Sidler, let me tell you why your daughter has a cleft lip and palate. He said, you have a mixed marriage. He said, you're married to a Spanish woman. You're a white guy. And so God has punished you. And so that's why you were born, your baby was born with a cleft lip and palate. Since Pastor Creed is scared to death of me, he knows I'm a karate expert. After I tipped the table, I'm just kidding. I wanted to do that. And then when I woke up from my dream, I just stayed quiet and put up with it and left there. I went to another church, and the church said, I'm tired of these missionaries coming around. He said, bless God. When I started this church here, we slept out on our car for 2 months. And then he said, okay, Brother Sidler, come on up and preach. I should have said, no, I need to go clean my car, get ready to sleep tonight. Probably what I should have did. But we experienced that. And Brother Arnold, the day came where I told the Lord, this is the day you have to give me what I need. And I said, Lord, I guess I'll go still. But I sure don't understand why all these things are happening to us and you're not meeting our needs. We got to this church in Montana. The church, even today, is in a storefront. They're renting their own building. They've tried to buy property, tried to build a building, haven't been able to. But when we left the church, the pastor gave me an envelope and I thought, thanks for the $25. And as we were pulling out of the parking lot, when the pastor got out of sight, and I don't necessarily do that now, but I really needed it then, I opened the envelope, and there was $1,500. And I said, Lord, we needed such and such a few weeks ago. This is a lot more than what we needed now. God manifested himself to us. Amen. In a special way. God may do it to you through an offering. He may do it in a message. may do it while you're praying. He may do it during the preaching. But when we're going where God wants us to be, He'll manifest Himself probably to us in a special way. And when we're on our way to where God sends us, we need to walk humbly. You remember the story? When, as Jacob was going, he told his servants, he said, Go, and thou shalt say unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob. And then a little later he says, I sent to tell my lord I may find grace in thy sight. That's the way you talk to Pastor Mike, right? Lord, thy servant Pat. No, we don't talk like that to our brother, right? But when we're on the way to where God wants us, we need to be humble. Amen. He was really humble. But when we're on the way to where God wants to send us, we'll probably be greatly afraid. If you look down in chapter 32, verse number 7, it says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Why? Well, the answer he got about thy servant Jacob, Lord Esau, is, yeah, I gave the message, Jacob, to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. Why in the world does he need 400 men? He's probably going to kill us. He was scared to death. And how many people have not been willing to go to Dominican Republic because they were afraid to go? Folks, there's a lot going on in the world today, but this is not the first time we've had problems. And God's always been able to bless. Amen. God's always been able to protect. When we're on our way to where God sends us, we also need to be repentant for our sins. If you look in verses 9 through 12, in verse 9 it says, And Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham. When you're repentant, you start to pray. Amen. You start to pray. And then he says, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I'm going to tell you what, when you're repentant too, you're going to make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen. I don't care what the preacher says if the preacher doesn't say what God says. Amen. I have to do what God wants me to do. One time, Dr. Creed, I told him about something. He said, Steve, if I were you, I would do this. I said, yes, sir. I dropped him off at the hotel there in the Dominican in the morning. I picked him up. And Dr. Creed got in the car and he said, Steve, did you do what I counseled you to do yesterday? I said, no, sir. And I didn't tell him this, but I didn't, because I didn't believe that's what God wanted. He said, good. I'm glad you didn't do it. He said, that was bad counsel. Folks, we better make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. Amen. I'm not saying we need to be disrespectful to our pastor and be a smart aleck. But when we're repenting, we also realize that we're not worthy of God's mercy or the truth that we represent. He says in verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And then we're also, when we're repenting, we'll use what we have for the Lord. When he went over, he went with his staff. When he went to Laban's house, when he came back with two bands, according to the end of verse number 10. And then he said in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hands of my brother. When we're repenting, we're afraid that we're going to get what we deserve. And boy, that would be a terrible thing. And we're repenting, we should remind God of what he promised us that he was going to do. In verse 12, he says, and thou said, I will surely do thee good. Now, when we're on our way to where God sends us, there'll be a time we must wrestle alone with the Lord. Amen. We're going to have to wrestle alone with the Lord. Now, Jacob was in the second greatest spiritual battle of his life. In verse 24, we see, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. At Bethel he saw a ladder. Now in Jabbok he saw the Lord. In Bethel he became a believer. Now in Jabbok he became a broken man. In Bethel he became a son of God. Now in Jabbok he becomes a saint of God. In Bethel he left with the greater strength in the step, but now in Jabbok he leaves with the limp. in the step. He was a rough cookie. Even when he was wrestling with the Lord, he had to fight with his old nature, his carnal nature, his obstinate nature, his fighting nature, his tricky nature, his self-sufficient nature, his inflexible nature. God's been fighting with Jacob for 20 years. How long has he been fighting with us? There's a time we're going to have to fight alone. And lastly, tonight, when we're on our way to where God sends us, we may have to lose something in order to be able to continue with the Lord. We know that the angel of the Lord, as Jacob was wrestling with him, had to take him and take his hip bone out of joint. And Jacob was forever changed. He wanted instant or instantaneous practical sanctification, but there's no such thing. God starts working in our life, and I don't know about you, I just wonder how has God put up with me all these years? Finally, you get something straight in your life, and there's a bunch of other things that aren't straight. But Jacob did become more mature now. Jacob, when he had the hip bone broken, Jacob couldn't fight any longer. All he could do is hold on. And maybe all you and I can do tonight is to hold on. And now God asked Jacob for his name. And didn't God already know Jacob's name? Yes, he did. But when Isaac, his dad, asked Jacob his name, he lied and said, "My name is Esau." But now a broken Jacob confesses his sins and responds,
"Amen.
My name is Jacob."
Amen.
"My name's Jacob." He was the trickster who who lied to his dad and stole from his brother. But now, because Jacob confessed his sin, God could use him. The man who is broken by God can also be blessed by God. Amen. In the morning, can you imagine in the morning when Israel's family saw him, his servants saw him, when Esau saw him, they saw a different man. I can't prove this from the Bible. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And I believe that when Esau saw Jacob, he was so different from the Jacob he saw before, they decided not to kill him. Maybe you have a different, maybe you have a good purpose, so don't mess up my message here at this point at the end. But Jacob's walk was permanently changed. But God had to take something very important to him, his hip. What does maybe God need to take away from us tonight? God has worked in the Dominican Republic. Thank you for helping us there. But God has a way, somewhere He wants you and I to go. And He'll meet with us. And we need to be humble about it. And we may be afraid. But we need to be repentant. We may need to wrestle with the Lord. We may need to lose something. Will you go to where God wants us to go? I'm trying to remember how to pronounce your name, ma'am. Serena? Sharita. Sharita told my wife and I of some different places she went to serve as missionary. You know, God used you. You were where God wants you. And she told us a story of how she ended up here at the church. God puts you, I believe, exactly where He wants you. And I believe you could probably, all of us could stand up tonight and tell stories of, "I was scared. I wasn't what God wanted me to be. But God spoke to me in a definite way. And I did what He wanted. And guess what God did?" You and I experience God in a special way by going where He wants us and doing what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the example of Jacob and how He said that if you would be with him in the way that he would go, that you would be his Lord, and you were with him. And Lord, you took a trickster and you did something great and special in his life. And he's one of our patriarchs, Lord. But he was just as big a mess as probably most of us are. Lord, help us to go, to do, and to be what you would have us, and bless this time of invitation with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Folks, let's stand. If God spoke to your heart, you want to get along with God. God spoke to your heart through the message. I'm discerning tonight in my heart and in my spirit that many of you today, tonight, come and you've got burdens on your heart. Maybe for people, things you're going through. And we need to give that burden to Jesus. It's easy preaching, but it's the right thing to do. Amen? Don't carry that burden by yourself. Don't let that burden weigh you down. Just and.